You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I am here with a very special guest, one Mr. Josh Turner, Master Brewsmith Josh Turner. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, it's a pleasure. Now, you sponsor The Real Short Box with your company, Splattered Frog Brewing Company. And we are very honored to have you as a sponsor of ours. So if you could really quickly just kind of give us a quick synopsis of what you do in the world of brewing. Like, it's a microbrew type of situation, right?
More of a nano, I would consider it. There are, when you get in the brewing industry, there's certain, like, the number of barrels you brew per year versus, you know, so you have your nano and your micro and your macro breweries. So the amount of beer that I brew would kind of fall in the nano section, because a microbrewery is like 100,000 barrels a year, which I can't do that. So don't quote me on that exact number, but it's a lot of beer. If we don't do that kind of volume, I want to get there someday.
Right.
I do want to get there. I'm just not there yet. Yeah. So.
Well, I believe you will get there, definitely, because I have tried some of your tasty brews, and I am a big fan. So keep doing it, and hopefully, with everybody eventually trying the beers, and with you've got some things that you're working on, some exciting things coming to kind of introduce people into the world of brewing a little bit more and show them kind of behind the scenes of a what you would call a nano brewery.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah, that's super cool. So we'll talk about more of that later when we can, when you have more secrets to reveal to us. But for now, what we're going to be talking about is your favorite superhero. And what that is a segment that we do on The Real Short Box here. And it is basically, it's just our guests talking about their favorite superhero and why, and we discuss a little bit about it. So your favorite superhero, Josh, is?
Well, I mean, I have lots of favorites. I've watched all the Marvel stuff, but going back to my childhood, I would have to say Leonardo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has to be my favorite. And the reason why is, one, my favorite color is blue. So that kind of helps because, you know, he wears a blue bandana. But I've also always had a thing for swords. But I think the other thing is his leadership qualities that he kind of exhibits. And I kind of follow that same thing. I'm a kind of a leader. I've held various roles where I've been a leader, and I've always kind of associated myself with his kind of, demeanor and his direction on being a born leader for a team of brothers.
So what did you think when the movies came out and they basically said, you know what, Raphael's actually the leader of the group? What did you think about that?
I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I like the direction they took. It was a nice little mix up. But I still think, Leonardo, Raphael is always known as a bad boy. Like, that is his demeanor. That's how he should be. But there's no reason why a bad boy can't be a leader. But I wasn't against it. It was a nice little mix up, I feel.
Okay. So you were all right. In the cartoons, the song went, Leonardo leads, Donatello does machine. And in the films, it said T-U-R-T-L-E, power, Raphael. Yeah, he's the leader of the group, transformed by the, So
right.
They mixed it up a little bit. And you accepted it. You were okay with it. And you just kind of rolled with the punches a little bit. And that's fine. But besides his leadership role qualities, what else is there? Because I'm asking from a personal standpoint, because I too am a huge Ninja Turtles fan. My favorite was Donatello growing up. My name is Donald, and his name is Donatello. It just seemed natural. And I always gravitated towards intelligent characters for some reason, because I was maybe hoping they would rub off on me and I get some of that smarts, some of that smart juice, and I get smarter. But that wasn't necessarily the case. But what is it about Leonardo besides his leading? What other personality is there? Another personality there with Leonardo, or is that pretty much it? He just
It's his focus. Like he has the focus, and he just wants to be the best ninja, the best brother, the best son of Splinter that he possibly can. And with everything I do, I like to like focus on and just set my mind to it and just learn everything I can about a field. And it's funny you brought up Donatello because, I spent, most of my career has been in IT. So being a computer guy, everyone's like, well, why is Donatello your favorite character? I'm like, because I do it. It's like, I can't really associate myself with I could technically associate myself with a character that, kind of has the same technical, actually he's way more advanced than I am. I'm not going to lie. But I don't know. It's just, for some reason, the has just, I've always had that same thing. When I get my mindset to something, I focus on it and I want to perfect it and do everything I can to better myself in that specific area.
Okay, that's fair. And in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they've had a lot of incarnations, so to speak, particularly in the cartoon world. Was it the comic book that originally got you into the Ninja Turtles, or was it the cartoon, or was it the later Archie comic that came out?
Honestly, it was the original 1980s cartoon.
Okay.
That's what I grew up to, was the original, the funny, the very comedic cartoon that came out. And then I kind of got more involved. Chris, he was a little bit more, further along because he's older than me. He was a little bit further along with the series and the show and the comics than I was. So, growing up watching the cartoons and then obviously all the, the live action movies that came out, with the animatronic, turtles and everything. That was my childhood. Some of the newer cartoons. I didn't really get into the comics until as an adult. I've been going back and reading some of the older comics and then even some of the new ones, like Last Ronin, for example. Uh-huh. The cartoons is really what got me hooked on, on the Ninja Turtles. So
I remember there was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Adventures #1, I believe, was the comic book. And that was the comic book that was based off the cartoon series. Now, if you had if you have a first print Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles #1 by Mirage Comics, which they are certifying as the first appearance technically of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, if you have that book and you have that in a very, very good condition, like a near mint or a very fine plus, that book can go upwards of $80,000 currently.
Oh, wow.
It's got some value behind it. I was kind of silly growing up because I always loved, as much as I loved the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I wasn't so much into the black and white comic version because they didn't have the same, different colored bandanas. They all had the same color bandana and it was all in black and white. So how could you tell it was the same color bandana? Well, when they became in color and they brought out the original issues and they reprinted them in color, that's when you saw for real that they were all red bandanas that they were wearing. And you're like, oh, so they're all Raphael, basically. So when they did that, they also brought out, when the cartoon came out, they brought out the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures, which was an Archie Comics publication. Originally, it was Mirage Comics, and it was just Peter Laird and Kevin Eastman that co-created in their garage, pretty much, and came up and self published and printed these books, and so extremely low print runs. But when Archie Comics purchased the rights to the Turtle Adventures series, then that's when it started to become more available to the masses, and that's when I got into comic books because I saw the characters that were on the TV now on the comic book rack or in the spinner at your grocery store or, you know, pharmacy or wherever you go to. And I thought that was super cool when I was a kid seeing that. So getting that now, looking at that, it wasn't more than probably 5 years ago where you could get, maybe even less, probably 3 years ago, you can get a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Adventures number one in extremely high grade condition for $10 to $20. Mm. Very obtainable. Well, the pandemic hit. Everybody got bored. They had extra money and they didn't know what to do with it. So they would go online and they would buy things that they wanted. And when that became less available, then people started charging more because they had less copies of these types of books. So that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Adventures number one now, which, by the way, is the first appearance of Rocksteady and Bebop, is anywhere from $600 to $1,500 for that book. And that was an Archie comic book that was everywhere at the time. So imagine if it had as low a print run as the originals, how much it would be worth. But, you know, it being how it is and having a regular print run from Archie Comics, it's still readily available, but still readily sought after. So it still makes it quite valuable for a lot of people. So it's fascinating to dip your toes into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic book world and try to figure out how you can get a first appearance. Now, yeah, go ahead.
So I need to go look through a bunch of stuff I have in storage. I have a bunch of old comics, and you know, I had some old Ninja Turtle comics from the 90s. Mm-hmm. In there. So I'm not sure if any of those are actually, you know, really worth anything now. I remember one issue that I had was like when April was turned into a turtle, and she was like wore a yellow bandana. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I'm not sure if that was part of the Ninja Turtle Adventures comic series or not.
I believe it was, or if it was not, it was a spin-off part of it. Yeah.
Right. So, but that was way back in the day, you know, but I have to check and see if I still have that issue and, you know, if it's actually worth anything now.
Yeah. Like some of the, a lot of the 90s Archie Turtles, you either have the first issue, which is worth a lot, or some of the last issues that they made are worth a lot because extremely low print run because people weren't buying them anymore. So if you have some of the older issues or some of the, you know, the first issues or first appearances of certain characters, those will be worth some money for sure. Otherwise, there's still going to be some value. Just depends on the shape of the comic book, to be honest. If it's in really good shape, then it'll be worth more. If it looks like a kid read it and beat it to heck, then
right.
It's going to be worth a lot less. But yeah, it's funny with the comic books. How that drove me into a fever pitch with the cartoon, the comics, and then the movie lands. It's like 1990, and this film of the Turtles, a live-action version. I remember this is the first time I've ever experienced a line at a movie theater. I remember standing in line, and my dad's like, you know, son, we could just go home at any point in time if you want. And I was like, no way. Like, we're seeing this movie. We're waiting in line to go watch the Turtles. And it was incredible. Like, I remember sitting down and seeing one of my neighbors there, and he was in my grade, and he was like, yeah, we were here yesterday, and the print melted, and we couldn't watch it. So we're back today to watch it again, you know, to try to see it. And I was like, oh, cool. So we got to watch it together. Then we were sitting in the same row. So it was really nice to have somebody with you. But it was probably one of the more memorable experiences for me watching a film, is watching something that I treasured so much become like a live action hero type scenario. Like, it was just incredible. Like, there's no other way to explain it.
So nostalgia aside, which of the three live action movies are your favorite? Now, I'm not counting the new ones with Michael Bay. you know, the original three.
I would hope nobody would count those with Michael Bay.
Right. Which one of those three is your absolute favorite? You know, nostalgia aside, mm-hmm. What do you think?
Geez. I think the second one is a lot of fun, but the reason I have a problem with it saying it's my favorite is because there's no Casey Jones. And they switched April's. So that really threw me for a loop. So I would say the first one is still my favorite. particularly because of the serious notes to it. But also, you know, it was the first time we were introduced to these characters on the screen. And the story was pretty solid, I thought. So I enjoyed it. The second one I thought's great. But again, you know, like I said, there was no Casey Jones. And I was like, where's Casey? What's he doing? Why isn't he helping? What's going on? You know, I was asking these questions as a kid. And then they brought him back for the third, of course, because then I think they realized, oh, people wanted Casey Jones. Well, at that point, it was too late because the third one was not.
Yeah, good. No.
It was all right, you know, and going back and rewatching it. Your brother and I, actually, we did a marathon. We watched all three. We went down the street and we ordered pizza and we did a marathon. We watched all three Ninja Turtles and the fourth, which was the animated that they called the fourth film. And we watched that one and we had these huge slices of pizza. And I think we took a picture together and we freeze framed the Ninja Turtles in the background on the screen. And we both had our slices and we took a picture of it. So. Reliving those moments is fun with somebody that's as into it as I was as a kid, for sure.
I mean, you know, growing up, it's like watching the second movie. That used to be my favorite, believe it or not, because I just like the undertone of it.
Yeah.
Right? But then, like, as I've gotten older and I've gone back and watched the first one, I'm like, I actually like, you know, older, I mean, like, probably like 20 years ago, you know, uh-huh. Going back and watching the first one, I'm like, I think I like the first one better. I like, like you said, I like the darker undertones for it. You know, it's like just the, you know, it's a little bit more serious of a film. The second one obviously was a little bit more, you know, energetic and more lighthearted than the first one was as far as the, you know, the characters go, you know, and the third one, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. It was watchable, but definitely doesn't rank in my, you know, top films of all time.
No, it's interesting in the concept of a time traveling, you know, and being stuck and trying to figure out how to get back and stuff like that. But
I think the animated series did time traveling very well, though. TMNT.
Yeah. Well, the video game, I thought Turtles in Time video game was pretty great, too. If you remember playing that, I think that was for what, SNES, Super Nintendo?
Well, there was also an arcade version of that as well.
Yeah. There was, right.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was great. I remember that, yeah.
There's actually a place here in town. It's called Cidercade. I'm not associated with them. It's not a plug or anything, but they actually have Turtles in Time at their arcade.
Yeah.
So they can go play, right? Yeah.
You know, I tried replaying, I think it was the first Ninja Turtles one, and I had I can't remember who it was with me, but a buddy of mine was with me, and we were at this barcade, and we probably put in about $10 each, and we weren't even, like, close to being finished, and I was like, man, and I remember beating this when I was a kid. I was like, how much money did I have, or how much of a step have I lost since I was a kid? Like, I'm not nearly as good apparently as I was, because I could have beat this game on $6 because that's all I had when I was a kid. But, well, you know, now I'm just throwing cash at it and still can't beat it.
Well, the only time I've ever beaten the game is when emulation became available. Uh-huh. Where I could actually, like, rewind and, like, freeze frame and stuff. That's the only time I was ever able to beat the game, is by basically cheating.
Yeah, well, still, one of the hardest games to ever beat is the original Nintendo Entertainment System's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. It is nigh impossible to beat that game without a Game Genie. I'm not kidding. I don't know anybody that beat it.
There was a Nintendo game. It was Turtles and Battletoads, right?
I don't know. I don't know if they did.
I'm pretty sure there was an NES game that had Ninja Turtles and Battletoads combined, and I think I played that back in the day.
I remember the Battletoads game, but I don't remember a Ninja Turtle Battletoads crossover like that, but it's possible. I just don't remember it. I'll have to look that up later when I get some time, I guess. Try to figure that one out. So we were talking earlier about your, you have a Leonardo stuffed toy from when you were a kid. And yes.
I do have a Donatello one as well.
Oh, do you? Oh,
but Donatello is in my kid's room right now, and he is asleep, so I cannot get it.
That's okay. That's all right. I'll allow it. I have the same Leonardo, but mine doesn't have the initials on the taint like yours does. Yours has your on the taint of the doll, of the stuff.
Yes, initials on the taint, right? Right there. I need the shell right there.
E.T., baby. Yeah, just taint.
Yeah, JT, exactly.
right. Yeah.
Because he was my comfort toy through my childhood. So when I went to the YMCA camp and everything, you know, I took him with me. He was my right hand man. He never left my side. So when I went to camp, my mom's like, "Oh, we're gonna initial him so nobody steals him, so people know that he's your toy." So that was why he has my initials on him. So he's going to be stuck with me for the rest of my kid's life.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah.
There you go. And then he'll be like, "Oh, it's on the tank. It's
on the tank." We'll have to change that J to an E eventually, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But what other toys of the Ninja Turtles do you still have besides the stuffed toys?
Well, I have a bunch of action figures. Yeah. I can't tell you exactly which ones. You know, I think I'm pretty sure I have Leatherhead. They're in a bag of my attic. You know, have inspired something. I have to go dig those out now. Not right now, but eventually. I'm pretty sure I have Leatherhead. Walkabout. We actually had a conversation about that. We discovered what his name was. The kangaroo, the panda. I can't remember what his name is for the life of me. But the little panda bear. You know, the entire, you know, obviously.
I had the panda too.
Yeah.
He was like a feudal Japan looking panda.
Yeah, exactly. He was wearing like leather armor.
Something like that. Yeah. In fact, yeah, I took a picture of every one of the toys from when I went back home, and I have them here on my phone. We'll start at the top here. I have, I think his name was Thrash or something like that. He was basically Rezar or Toka. Before there was Toka or Rezar, he was kind of the crazy looking turtle.
Oh, I think I have one of those. To be honest with you, I'm pretty sure I do.
And then next to him was this trash can dude. It looked like he was made out of trash. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
And then of course Splinter, and then there was Bebop, and then I had one of those Triceratops. Army ones that were part of that Triceratops army that was going to try to take over the world at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had, I think it's a Fugitoid was his name. I think it's Fugitoid. And the Rat King.
The Rat King, yeah.
And then I think this was Rezar, was the werewolf, the wolf.
Oh, that was from the second movie.
Yep, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Yeah. See, I was super excited for that film because I thought we were getting Rocksteady and Bebop, which we did not, sadly. Mm. That didn't come till Michael Bay's versions. But
you know, I think Seth Rogen is making a new animated film, right?
Yeah, it's either animated or live action, but yeah, he's making a new film of the Ninja
Turtles. Yeah, hopefully that's better than you know, the last two.
God, I hope so. I had this weird one, this pizza dude. He was like, he had a pizza box, like a peg leg pizza box thing.
I have not seen that one.
I had a couple foot soldiers. You remember Ace Duck, the pilot?
Yes, for sure.
You were talking about Battletoads. I had one of the toad dudes, the surfer or skateboarding dudes.
Nice.
One of them. I had like a kind of like, I can't remember what he was. He was like a gerbil or a skunk or something. Squirrel. Yeah. I don't know what that character was. And then here we go, the famous kangaroo.
Walkabout, yep.
Walkabout, yep.
Yeah, so my brother is actually going to be in town next week. So I think while he's here, I'm going to go through, and we're going to go look through all of our old toys and like document each and every one of them so we can come back and circle back to this podcast and be like, here's all the ones that we still have. I have a whole duffel bag full of them in the attic.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, geez. Like, and I could go on and on and on. I won't because I don't want to bore the audience. But There's so many. I had a General Trag, I think his name was, or something like that. He was the leader of Krang's army over in Dimension X. There was the Panda. He did have like weird hip hop outfit on fuel.
Right.
Like, just a weird outfit in Baxter Stockman and Leatherhead. And I had Leonardo dressed up in feudal Japan outfit because they did a whole series of those. They right. did the Ninja Turtles in space and all that stuff. I have the pizza thrower from back in the day. This Killer Bee thing. I had the Krang's huge bodysuit thing that he could get in, which was, by the way, that was a masterpiece. It was this huge, like, at least a foot tall doll, like action figure that you could put Krang in the belly of. And then it would walk around and just, it was amazing. It was like the most amazing thing. I never could get my hands on the Technodrome, so it was like the next coolest thing to that.
Yeah, so I'm a little jealous because yeah, I never even got the giant Krang suit either. So we always, you know, my parents kept us kind of to the smaller, you know, smaller action figures. Mm-hmm. They couldn't splurge on the, you know, the more expensive ones.
Right. No, I totally understand that. I got all those on sale when they in much later than I should have. I think I was like probably 13 or something, and I was still collecting Ninja Turtles. So it is what it is. And that just shows that people love the Ninja Turtles so much. And the Ninja Turtles are something I don't think they're ever going to go away. Just the idea of it. And it was so funny because they based it off of Frank Miller's Daredevil run. Basically like with the hand. You know, they had the hand and they were like, well, we'll just call these guys the foot. You know, and they'll be ninjas because every comic has ninjas in it now, like in Daredevil comics and stuff. And they'll be teenagers and we'll be mutants. And then we'll make them turtles. Why not? You know, and it just kind of took off from there. And it's a crazy, crazy fun ride that we've been on since, what, 1984, 85, somewhere around there, when the first printed ad for, like, the comic came out. And then Globbity-Glook came out. And it was the first ever appearance of the turtles in a magazine comic book form. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1 came out, and then 2 and 3 and 4, and then Turtles Adventures, once they sold the rights to the cartoon to, I can't remember the name of the company that was, I think it was maybe Deke, then Playmates bought the toy rights and ran with it, and it just went crazy. They made millions upon millions of dollars off those toys, and with good reason. We loved them. Obviously, you're still a fan. You know,
right? Well, wasn't there? There was a like a Toys That Made Us episode on Netflix about that, right?
Yes, yes, there is.
Yes, a Toys yes. That Made Us. I did watch that, and I think there was an actual whole documentary that expanded more on that than just the one episode. It just talked about the whole, you know, Ninja Turtles franchise and how it kind of started off as just a single thing and just blew up. And you know, it's I think it was one of those things. It was the right time, you know. Of there wasn't, you know, a lot on the market, so that was like the perfect timing for them to release like this unique story about these teenage turtles that were mutated from this, you know, mutagen, you know, and a, you know, a rat for a father, you know, or a sensei, basically.
Yep. In every 10 years or so, we get a new cartoon series for a new generation. We get new movies for a new generation. You know,
I cannot get into the last series though. I tried. I just couldn't do it.
I heard it was a lot of fun. I haven't watched it myself, but I heard it was a lot of fun.
I only watched a few episodes of it. Maybe I need to give it another chance, but I don't know. I just didn't like the character style. How they were all different sizes and they changed it up way too much.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. They kind of try to everybody tries to put their artistic stamp on things like this, and it's not always going to work, unfortunately. But what will work is the characters, the essence, the core of each of these characters. That will always work, and that will always carry on. And Laird and Eastman, I think that they know this, and their legacy is going to live on well past their lifetime. And I think we're going to be hearing about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for many, 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 many decades to come. Anything else you want to add to this before we wrap this up?
I mean, not really. I mean, unless I can talk about my website for a quick second.
Sure, hit us.
And some of my products. So, you know, you gave away a couple of my products with one of your last podcasts. And unfortunately, hats are completely on back order right now. My vendor cannot get any of the, you know, the hats in because of supply chain issues. So all I have available right now are t-shirts. So that's all I want to say.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with the t-shirts. It's a splattered frog. It's got a really cool print of a splattered frog, green frog on the cup, right, on the front of the shirt.
And I am still working on printed glasses. But I might do a pre-order for those because I do have to order a minimum quantity because of supply chain issues.
Right.
So like they're not willing to just print like on demand stuff. So I have to order like a minimum a minimum amount of pre-printed glasses in order for them to ship them to me.
Gotcha.
You know, so, I might start doing that, like just taking pre-orders and saying, okay, there might be like a 6-week turnaround time or something, depending on how many orders come in. But that's something we'll talk about later on down the road.
So you go to splatteredfrog.com, and we do have a sponsor coupon discount. You put in shortbox, you get 20% off your order. So that's shortbox, S-H-O-R-T-B-O-X. Put that in, and you will get a discount on the site. It will save you a little money, and you can get a nice shirt right now currently on the site in a multitude of sizes. So thanks again, Josh. Thanks for being on and being a part of this, talking about your favorite, one of your favorite superheroes, Leonardo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
All right. Excellent. Okay, cool. Well, thank you, everybody. Also, that's out there in the audience that's listening. We do this podcast regularly, audio, and we do a live podcast every Monday, usually at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time on the Rumble Spoon Productions page on our YouTube channel. You can check us out there. You can also go to rumblespoon.com for any of our audio podcasts. We do also put all of our audio podcasts on YouTube as well. It is on Spreaker. We are on Spotify. We are on iHeartRadio, Apple iPod, Apple Podcasts, and a whole multitude of others. So check us out there. Check us out everywhere. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we will see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.